There we go. All right. Good morning, Vineyard. We can do better. Good morning, Vineyard. Good morning, in-person community, online community. It is wonderful to be with you today. My name is Jonathan, and I get to speak with you. And I felt from the Lord as I was sitting here this morning, I wanted to release some tension. And I feel like growing up, I grew up in the church, and there was always this tension about, I must receive a word from God when I come to Sunday morning. I must like really focus in on the teaching. I must really focus in on worship. And if I didn't get something significant, I would feel almost bad or shame or guilt that I wasn't doing something right. And so I want to relieve that pressure from you this morning and say, you're here. You did a good job. Congratulations. It says in Hebrews 10, like the purpose of the gathering of the saints is for encouragement and for edification. And so if there is anything that encourages you this morning, that's why we're here. You may or may not get anything from me. You may or may not get anything from worship, but the Lord is still speaking. The Lord is still speaking to you. So I would just ask that as you are here this morning, just say, Holy Spirit, come and talk to me. Come and encourage me. Come and edify me. And if he gives you a word, if he gives you a prayer, if he does something in you, that's why we're here. We're here to encourage the believers. We're here to be together. If you are hurting, if you are in pain, like we're the body of Christ. We're supposed to be praying for each other. We're supposed to be seeing the kingdom of darkness get less and less every single week. That's what we're here for. So if you get anything from this morning, whether that be from teaching, whether that be from worship, whether that be from a prayer, or whether that's you just sitting in silence and being in a place of peace because your world is just so chaotic, that's enough. Good job. Amen? All right. So I wanted to first say, I'm home. Adam Lewis, we actually went off to Armenia a couple of weeks ago and spent some time with one of our missionaries, one of my brothers, actually. And I wanted to give you a quick, like, synopsis of things that God is doing in the Big C Church. Because he's doing stuff. He's doing some really cool stuff. And I just wanted to say, as part of our encouragement this morning, God's on the move. Not just here, not just overseas, but everywhere. There was a guy that my brother and I, when I was in Armenia last year, we encountered at the mall. It was a gentleman that had a dream about Jesus, was not from a Christian background, and came to Armenia to find God, to find something of truth. Ended up through the Facebook page, ended up finding my brother. They met up in a mall for a coffee, didn't know anything about Jesus. And 1 year later, almost exactly to the day, he is now saved, he is baptized, he's in a community of Christ, and it all was because of Jesus doing the work. Like, God's on the move. God's doing some really, really cool stuff. And something my brother and I got to talk to about a lot was there's nothing different about being a missionary overseas than you being a person here in the community in the U.S. What he does is he meets with people and talks about Jesus. We can do the same. We go to lunch, we grab a coffee, you sit at the water cooler and you chat up your friends at work, you are in your car, whatever, you can call somebody. Like, that is being a missionary. He just happens to be doing it full time in a different land, in another place, but you're here, and I'm going to tell you, you're a deployed missionary. You are here, and it's time to do some God stuff, because it's really fun. It's really, really fun. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you are doing. Come and have your way. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. God, transform our hearts. Let us be open to receive what you have for us today. Bring your peace. Bring your peace in this room so that those who feel stressed, who feel chaotic, who feel like, I don't know if I can make it through tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you bring peace right now, that they are able to rest and have, even if it's just for an hour, relief. In Jesus' name, amen. Landon asked me to speak a few weeks ago, and in pure Landon style, he doesn't give you a topic, which is just terrible, because you go from, I know about God, okay, Landon, give me a topic, and then I will press into that topic. I will read scripture. I'll watch sermons. I will prepare. And Landon goes, you choose. And it's one of the worst experiences ever. I mean, because you have to then go, God, out of not my strength, but I have to press into what God is saying. And I've been trying to do that for the last couple weeks. And something, instead of a direction, what God told me was, hey, I want you, instead of preparing a specific, precise piece of knowledge, I want you to press into the Holy Spirit. And then I will flow out of that place of being full, and I'll give you the right words to say. So I don't know really where we're going this morning, but you guys are along for the journey. It's going to be good. As I was worshiping and as I was on a drive yesterday, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about wilderness and how we experience different kinds of wilderness in our lives. And I have, I think, something from the Lord for us this morning in regards to wilderness. The Lord was speaking to me as like, I have this negative connotation. When I think of wilderness, I think of the Israelites being thrust out of Egypt into a place that was very uncomfortable. That was very hard in the physical. It was very hard in the spiritual. A lot of people suffered. A lot of people died. And so when I think of wilderness, I think of suffering, punishment. And the Lord began to speak to me about that is not the only purpose of wilderness. So that is the direction that we're going to try and take this morning. Holy Spirit, come, let's do this thing. So there is the first type of wilderness. We're going to go over four types of wilderness. The first type of wilderness is the wilderness because of disobedience. I am very familiar with this type of wilderness. I have walked in disobedience a lot of my life, whether that be in disobedience of my parents. My mother is Linda Wilms, and probably most of you know Linda Wilms. She is utterly sweet and amazing, and I love her to death. And she is super tender, and she also raised four sons. She is not a weak woman. And I walked in much disobedience with her, and she broke me. Linda Wilms is amazing, and she's a very strong, prayerful woman who hears from God, and she broke her sons. So, out of my disobedience, the Lord speaks. Wilderness because of disobedience. One of the first characters that came to mind when I was thinking about this type of wilderness is the character Jonah. There was a prophet in the Old Testament who was called by God to minister to the people of Israel. And then he heard a word from the Lord saying, hey, you need to go and talk to these other people and they are going to be extended forgiveness and grace. And Jonah said, nope. Not going to do that. I'm actually going to not only reject the word, I'm going to go as far away from that word and those people as possible. I'm supposed to go here and I will literally go 180 degrees this way. And so Jonah goes on this journey. He's on this boat. Everything goes to chaos. And he ends up saying, instead of turning my ways, I would rather just die. And they throw him over this boat. He gets swallowed by a fish. And in 3 days, he is brought to a place of repentance, mostly. And he then goes on this mission to give this word. He goes to Nineveh. He gives this word of saying, hey, turn from your ways. The Lord's going to utterly destroy you. And he just went back, sat in a lazy boy chair and said, okay, Lord, I gave your word. Now destroy them. And the Lord offered grace to these repentant people, and they stepped away from their disobedience, and the Lord brought them in to the kingdom. That's really, really fantastic. But then Jonah was very, very frustrated. He was mad. I have actually been in that same place where I've seen people walk in active disobedience, and then the Lord forgives them, and I go, where is justice? They should suffer a little bit, and then they continue to get blessed and healed, and you're like, Lord, I don't get it. What are you doing? I want some of that. It really comes out of a place of loneliness or guilt or shame. And instead of blessing that person, you actually want to curse them. So we say, Lord, change our hearts to when we see God actively moving on someone, whatever they're going through, let's press into that and say yes and amen, instead of look at it with scorn or with distrust. So Jonah was walking in the wilderness of disobedience. The other main character or people group that I think of when I hear disobedience and wilderness is the people of Israel. They were actively in this refinement process in a literal wilderness. Moses went and got the keys to all of Israel, brought them back to God, and then they needed to go through this long process of refinement that took a long time, 40 years. I began to say, okay, Lord, I need another example. I need another example because, three examples are, you can generally hit everybody's heart or at some point if you have three examples. And I didn't get anything until this morning. And the Lord told me, he's like, the first wilderness that mankind ever experienced was Adam and Eve. And when they walked in active disobedience in the garden, they were literally cast out from the heavenly place that God created them into a chaotic world. And we are still all of humanity until the Lord comes back and rebuilds this place. We are walking in this wilderness of disobedience. And it is the constant and daily struggle to where we are expelling the kingdom of darkness and bringing the kingdom of God. So from the very beginning, the first man, the first woman, they walked in this place of wilderness of disobedience. The second type of wilderness that we can experience is coming from a place the Holy Spirit is driving people into a place of wilderness. Two examples that we have is one, Jesus. Before he started his ministry, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness so that he could be stripped away from all the humanity stuff and be re-bolstered, encouraged to say, okay, now is the time to do ministry, and you are going to start from a place of resolute authority. And another example that we have of this is Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. After doing some epic ministry, where he goes and slays a whole bunch of people, you guys should go check it out in the chapter 18, Elijah was driven out by the Spirit to go into this cave where the Lord ministered to him. It was a wilderness, not because he did anything bad. It wasn't because he did anything wrong. He fulfilled the calling of God in his life, but he was driven out into this wilderness place so that he could hear clearly. Because it says in the 19th chapter that he was then succumbed by fear. He acted on what God said, and then he was instantly scared. And I was reading that, and I was like, oh my gosh, how many times have I done that where I'm like, okay, Lord, I feel like you've told me to go pray for this person. I walk in obedience. I pray for this person. They don't get healed. And then I'm instantly covered in fear. And I feel like sometimes the Lord, whether that be physically or emotionally, he pushes me away from that situation so that he can minister to me. So that I don't have all the distractions of people or the world or any of those types of things, that I can hear clearly from the Lord in my heart that this is what he was doing. I walked in obedience, and he's going to minister to me. So if the Lord drives you out, that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It could mean that he wants to be super selfish, and he wants to speak to you with clarity in a way in which that you understand. So wilderness doesn't have to mean a bad thing. The third type of wilderness that we can experience is the wilderness for the sake of learning and preparation. We have a ton of examples of this. The first one being Moses. Moses did walk in disobedience, but then he was driven out and he was kept in this wilderness place where he had to attend sheep. In a very secluded space, in a very desolate place, so that he could learn how to deal with dumb things. And eventually, the Lord, through this long process of learning about patience, about grace, about how to pursue the one that walks off, he had the tools necessary to then lead a nation. Moses was not a leader pre-wilderness. He was a leader because of his wilderness. Another example that we have of this drawing out this wilderness place for the sake of learning and preparation is the Apostle Paul. After his Damascus experience, after he was healed, he was sent away to Arabia, maybe for about 3 years, we're not exactly sure, but he was sent away, and then the next verse says, and then he returned. Paul was a very educated person. He was a very knowledgeable person, but he knew about God. And in this place of wilderness, he went from knowing about God to knowing God personally. And so I would say, I have experienced this where the Lord says, okay, you know about me, you know what I can do, but now I need to show you personally. I need to take this knowledge, I need to take this understanding. It's not just about, as you know, how many books you can read, how many conferences you can go to, whether or not you get a degree or a certificate in Bible education. The Lord will use you where you are at, and he will also draw you into a place where he can teach you and prepare you for your ministry. You don't have to be scared that you're not going to have the tools when it's time for you to minister. The Lord's in charge of your future. Like I have sticky notes actually in my apartment that says God's in control. God still loves you. God has his attention set upon you, because those are the things that are easy to know but easy to forget. That God sees you. He sees you personally. He knows where you are going to be in life. He knows the person that you need to be in order to do the calling in your life. And so he will prepare you. And so if there's this pressure in your life that says, I need to really work hard so that I'm absolutely ready to do the ministry of Christ, like, just extinguish that pressure. Like, the Lord will guide you. That is a promise that we have. He will guide you in your life. You don't have to be concerned that you will not be prepared when the Lord calls you to the thing that he has for you in your life. We don't have to be scared of that. We don't have to have fear. You will be prepared. And even in your unpreparedness, we have the ultimate trump card. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he can use anybody, anywhere to do anything to bring the kingdom. Joseph is another character that we have that was put into a wilderness season for the purpose of learning and preparedness. Now, Joseph's season is a season that I've actually seen in myself, but for other people, where it looks like maybe they did something wrong because the suffering is very personal. The suffering is hard. You know, Joseph was in prison. He didn't do anything wrong. His family completely rejected him. They sold him into slavery. And then he's in this place where he's like, I'm trying to do the will of God. I'm trying to still minister to people and say, hey, please remember me, baker. Please remember me, wine tasting guy. Like, I am trying to still do my calling in life. Please remember me. And I believe in that place, the Lord continued to tell Joseph, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. The timing is not yet. There's a little more. And a little beyond from where we are now, right now, we're going to be talking about faith and patience and waiting on the Lord. But in this place, Joseph was in prison. He was a captive. He did not do anything wrong. He actually did, according to Scripture, everything right. He was faithful in his work, even though he was a slave. He was faithful to his master. He did flee from this woman who wanted him. Like, Joseph did the things that a good Jewish boy was supposed to do. He knew the scriptures. Like, he knew what he was supposed to do, and yet he was still in this place of great suffering and wilderness. So wilderness does not mean you've done something bad. And so we can then ask the question, like, Lord, why am I in this place of wilderness? Or what is the purpose of this place? Please show me so I can press into that place and I don't have to be in fear. I don't have to be angry. I can be resolved that, okay, I don't know how or why this thing is occurring, but I'm not going to diminish or change my resolve. Christ is my foundation, period. End of story. Christ is my foundation. And out of that place, even if there is suffering, even if there are hard times, you know, if you know Jesus, there is an end. We don't know what that end might be. Your end might, you might die in that place of wilderness or in that place of suffering. You might. You might come away afflicted. You might come away with injury. But at the end of days, there is a point where you will be completely and wholly restored. The Lord does not leave us to then suffer for all eternity. He brings us home and gives us a new body to reside in heaven with him forever. Amen? Okay, we're still here. All right. David was also thrust into a place of wilderness for preparation and learning. David knows he's going to be this king. He knows that he's going to do these awesome and really cool things because there's prophet came and said, hey, I'm going to anoint you as this king of the nation and you're going to do some really awesome stuff. And then David goes, yay. And then he is sought after to be killed. Like, that doesn't seem like it equates properly. Where, hey, I mean, I don't know that any of us have not experienced where the Lord calls something upon your life and then almost the exact opposite thing happens almost immediately, where the Lord says, hey, you are going to minister to people and then you are completely afflicted and isolated. Or you are called to be a leader and then you have an experience that makes you feel like you're completely and utterly inadequate. You don't have enough knowledge. You don't have the confidence. Someone told you that you can't speak or you have a face for radio or, you know, whatever the thing might be. Like, it's this exact opposite spirit to what the calling is. That's what David experienced. He was thrust into the wilderness, but in the wilderness place, there's a bunch of stories written about how he gathered David's mighty men. He had conquests. And he had a little faltering in the cave where he cut off the cloak, garment seam, and, you know, there's a little disobedience in that place. But even in that learning process, David walked in repentance to a degree where God said, this is a man after my own heart. Like, even in all of his disobedience and wilderness experience, being prepared to be a leader of a nation, the best, until Christ, the best king of Israel. And he still had his troubles. He had his faults. He had his issues. But the Lord redeemed it. And the Lord said, this is my friend. The fourth type of wilderness, I'm going to call for the sake of intercession. Now, intercession is a very churchy word. It can be confused. It can mean a lot of different things, but I'm going to define it as this, where you are, by the Spirit, going to battle on behalf of another. You are going to war against the forces of evil, the forces of this earth, in the Spirit, on behalf of a community, on behalf of a nation, on behalf of a person. Intercession is you praying on behalf of somebody else. It is a calling on your life, and it might be a long-term calling or it might be a short-term calling, but there will be points in your life where you are called to intercede on behalf of your spouse, behalf of your family, on behalf of your coworker or nation, because they aren't equipped and God has called you. Intercession is very, very important, and we can all participate in that. Wilderness for the sake of intercession. The first character that I want to describe is John the Baptist. It says in Mark chapter 1 that John the Baptist was driven into the wilderness to prepare the way. He was there to intercede on behalf of Israel, he was there to intercede for the people, to prepare their hearts to receive Jesus. Without John the Baptist and without him going to the Jordan and baptizing people and telling them, hey, the time is near. Christ is coming and you need to prepare your hearts. You need to align yourself with the kingdom. If he didn't do that, so many people wouldn't be ready to receive. Intercession is very important. And just because you feel afflicted or alone, it may not be because of you. It may be because of someone else, and you've been called to war on their behalf in the Spirit to see breakthrough in their life, to see restoration in someone's life, to see healing. There's in the Vineyard, we talk about sympathy pains. We talk about, you know, I have this feeling, I have this hurt, I have this picture. Sometimes we experience what other people are experiencing because we are being called to intercede or pray into that thing. And so as we worship and as we pray, and the Lord doesn't want to hide himself from you. He's not shrouded in mystery. We can ask, Holy Spirit, I don't know what this thing is. Show me. Show me. And he will. We can trust that he will. And so if there's a compelling to do something or to say something or to go somewhere, that just might be the Holy Spirit calling your heart to intercede on someone else. For myself, I actually, this was just over a year ago, I had this encounter where I was called to, I felt like the Lord said, hey, I need you to give this person some money, and they're going through a really, really hard time, and I'm like, okay, I'll send them some money, so I sent them some money, and then something happened when I hit send. Something happened in my heart to where I all of a sudden felt this feeling of just being completely overwhelmed. Like, I laid on the floor feeling overwhelmed, like just the weight of life, the weight of whatever was going on for this person. I just felt this overwhelming pressure, so much so that I finally was able to get off the floor, and I just started driving. And I made it almost all the way to Memphis. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was crying and praying in the Spirit, like travailing, like feeling this thing of like, I don't know what I'm even saying. I don't know what I'm doing, but there's something here that God has called me to, and I need to press in and not quench it or stop it. And so I was in this place of like, I probably wasn't driving the safe. And like, I'm going, I have the worship music on, and I'm just going for it. And the Lord is bringing words to mind, and I'm praying into it, and I'm praying into it, and I'm praying to it. And then I get to an exit, and then it stops. And I'm just sitting there, like it was a faucet on, faucet off type of experience where I'm all of a sudden sitting there and I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, well, what was that, Lord? And why am I near Memphis? And I had to drive all the way back home and like, God, what are you doing with my life? And you have to get up and go to work the next morning, and then you're tired and you got red eyes and people are like, what happened? And you're like, you don't understand. And like, it's a thing. But there are times in your life where God calls you to go to war on behalf of someone else. And I do have the other side to that testimony, that this person was able to receive breakthrough. And that wasn't because of me. It was because of what the Lord was doing. But the Lord needs you to participate in the kingdom. He needs you to play. We're here, we're called, we are the people, we are the kingdom, we are the enlisted, and we go to battle for our king. The second example is actually not a biblical example. There's a gentleman in the 1920s, his name is Rhys Howells. I don't recommend many books in my life because that can get you filleted if someone reads something the wrong way. So, but there is one book I do recommend, and it's called Rhys Howells, Intercessor. And there was this gentleman who was called by God, a part of the Welsh Revival, to be an intercessor for the nations. He started off kind of baby steps, working his way up. He interceded for people, these coal miners in his community. He adopted their lifestyle and then prayed into breakthrough for their lives. And then eventually he grew this community around him where he was walking by faith. And then he began to intercede on behalf of governments, on behalf of nations, and in real time changed certain battles and outcomes in World War II. It's a fantastic narrative. So Rhys Howell's intercessor. But this was a gentleman who was called by God to go to battle on behalf of someone else. And you might be called to do the same. So wilderness doesn't have to mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean that you are being disobedient. It doesn't mean that you're being cast out or destroyed by God. Like, he is a loving God. His nature, his character is to bring people back into the fold. You know, James 1 is a favorite chapter of mine. And at the same time, I hate James 1 because it starts off by saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. For the development of your faith, or for the something of your faith, develops perseverance. We should look up James 1. James talks about how suffering creates joy and perseverance, which doesn't connect in the natural. It connects in the supernatural. Because if we know where our security is, if we know where our foundation is, we can go, this is my situation, but here is my foundation. My foundation is the Lord Almighty. And just like we read earlier in Psalm 91, he goes to bat for me. He brings the angels for protection for me. He will not let me be overcome by the plagues and the pestilence of this world. It may feel like it, but at the root and the core of everything is Christ wins. Christ always wins. We can be assured of that. The victor is our king. Satan knows this. Like, the devil already knows that he's lost. But he's going to try to convince the rest of us that he might win. And that's not true. He's not going to win. And our sharing of the gospel, the message of Jesus, is that, hey, the devil doesn't have to win in your life. There's another option. There is a better way. So when we encounter these wildernesses, we can become very bitter, we can become very angry, we can become filled with guilt and shame and loneliness, and that can be a very, very hard thing. One of the things that we absolutely need to receive is grace. We need to receive a ton of grace. There is grace for you. There is a lot of grace for you. It doesn't matter, you mess up, you screw up, how many times? You know, the scripture says, how many times should a brother forgive another? You know, and he's like, 7 times, no, 70 times 7, it's not actually 490 times. There's not a finite number to the times that the Lord will forgive you and bring you back and say, you're restored, you're made clean, you're back in the fold. Like, there's not a limit to that. It's an eternal number. We just have to decide again and again and again to do that. As I was going through this and the Lord was pointing out all these different kinds of wilderness and the different times that I've experienced each one, the Lord began to talk to me about patience and how patience, waiting on the Lord, is at the core of all this. That the timing of God is perfect. And when it comes fast. Because the Lord moves. The Lord really does move. It's fantastic. But having patience and not trying to take the reins, trying to take control, is really hard. It's so hard to be like, okay, Lord, I kind of see the door opening, and I just want to press in, and I want to say, okay, I got this. You wait, watch me, and then go for it. We need to have patience. It's actually a church pet peeve of mine is we say, never pray for patience. Because then everything will go wrong in your life. And you will be given many opportunities to grow in your patience. Church, I want to challenge that theory and say, patience is one of the fruit. It's It's one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. And the only way for you to experience the full package of who God is for you to have patience. Patience is the only way in which we can extend grace to the unbeliever, because they will make you very impatient. When sin people do sin things, redeemed people go, why? It's what they're called to do. Until they're called to do something else, that is what they're supposed to do. Grace is what we are called to do. Patience is at the core of how to extend grace. And the only way for us to have patience is to ask for it, and then to practice it, and then to experience the things in our life that want to make us impatient, and then saying, no, I'm going to deny my flesh and press into the kingdom and have patience. So I would challenge you, you do not have to do this, but I do challenge you to ask to receive the patience of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can extend grace and grace more to those around you. I will tell you that I have experienced a whole lot in my last couple of years of my life where I thought I had some patience, and then I thought I really had some patience, and we are discovering Jonathan doesn't have a lot of patience. And having to go from level to level to level and saying, okay, I will not choose to be offended. I will not choose to be holding a grudge. I will not choose to be irrational. I will choose grace every single time. And the core of that is patience. To have patience is to transform your mind to be like Christ. Jesus had patience with the people, with all their dumb questions, with all of their wayward ways. Even when Peter goes and attacks the soldier and cuts off his ear, it doesn't say that Jesus went over to Peter and says, what are you doing? For the sake of the gospel, you've ruined the model. He's like, Peter, that's not what we do. Give me the ear. In my name, be healed. There was grace offered time and time and time again. There is grace offered to you time and time and time again. Have patience for yourself. Have patience for others. And realize that you do not do it on your own. You do not have to do it on your own. You do not have to do the wilderness on your own. You do not have to live this life on your own. The Holy Spirit is with you. Let him do the heavy lifting in your life. I find for myself there are many times where I'm like, okay, Lord, if you would grant me the one Solomon question, like, I will give you anything in the world, my son, I would say, okay, Lord, remove this sin from my life and I will be good. I think probably we all could come up with that one or two things that we know that we struggle with, that if the Lord just removed from our lives, we would go like, man, life would be good. Life would be awesome because I don't have to deal with that anymore. In your process of knowing Christ, he may or may not be focusing on the thing that you think is most important. Press into him, press into the Holy Spirit, and he will choose what to focus on. Be patient with yourself and let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting, because he's way better at it than you are. He's just so much better at it than you are. If you try and like, I'm gonna grow, it just doesn't work. You might become more skilled, you might become more knowledgeable, but the heart change can only come from the Lord. The Lord tells us that he is the one who calls us before we even knew. He's the one who draws us to him. Your decision to follow Jesus was you saying yes to him already working in your life. He saw you from the beginning, the day you were born, until the day you die. He is with you. He has patience and grace for you to always come back through all of the wilderness, disobedience, from learning, from any of those times. He is always there saying, come home, son. Come home, daughter. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are always welcome to come home. Let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for calling us. Thank you for doing the work. You do the heavy lifting in our life. Lord Jesus, I pray against the ways of the devil, that where he is trying to get us to focus on the things that might make sense. Lord Jesus, I pray that those thoughts, that mindset is just put away. Is put away, that we can focus on the things that you are focusing on. If we say, anger is my issue, but really, Lord, you want to work on us in humility. Lord, I pray that we are sensitive to hear your voice, that we are sensitive to hear your calling in our lives. God, I pray that we can recognize our season of wilderness if we are in it. Lord, I pray that we are able to recognize what is going on, that we don't look at ourselves with disgust or shame or you shouldn't be in this place. Lord, I pray that you give us the ability to have grace with ourselves, that we are patient with ourselves and with others so that we can extend the message of who you are, God, that we can extend the message that Christ saves, Christ loves, the Holy Spirit is for here, it's for now, it's for everyone, and anyone can receive. Lord, I pray that we are able to speak and believe for the things that are not yet. There are some of us who have a calling on our life, and we are in this season that just seems completely desolate, the wilderness season of waiting. Lord Jesus, I pray for supernatural faith for the times to come, that we can have patience to wait for the things to come, and that, like it says in Romans chapter 4, that we're able to speak the things that are not as though they are. Lord, I pray for healing this morning. I pray for peace this morning, that we are all able to experience the love of Jesus. Come and have your way in this church, in our workplaces, in the places that we travel to and we go, Lord, you are worth it. We say yes and amen to what you are doing here in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a good day, y'all. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll see you all next week.